ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. As I always say, I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today is March 15, 2018. The month of March is on, and very soon we will be celebrating Ugadi, the Telugu New Year's Day, this weekend on March 18th. Another opportunity for us to start those sacred things in our life which we have been postponing for long. Start a new journey, begin to remake a new life. It was during this time last year in 2017 that one of the greatest servitors of Bhagwan started on her new journey. In peace, happiness and bliss, she began her journey back to the source. After leading a fantastic life of dedication, commitment, deep love, incessant sacrifice, unceasing service to Bhagwan, a diamond of a devotee who almost took over the role of being the earthly mother of Bhagwan after Mother Ishwaramma left the mortal coil, the legendary devotee, Mrs. Ratanlal. In the previous episode on March 8, 2018, I started narrating to you her story. I shared with you how Swami was waiting to be served by her. It was so obvious. She was making it so obvious for everyone that she has been born for a purpose. And then we went on to discuss how Swami pulled her to his lotus feet, the initial moments of revelation, the dispelling of doubts of her husband, the establishment of the deep connect, and the discoveries of his beautiful presence in her life. Even before she physically came to his presence, how Bhagwan was giving her signs and so many ways communicating to her that it is he who has been shaping her, who has been guiding her, who has been safeguarding her. So I told you how she saw Swami first in 1965 in Mumbai, and instantly how she felt, oh my God, he is so adorable, he is so lovely, if only I can hold him, if only I can hug him. As she was narrating later, you know, if there was no one, I would have just gone and hugged him, because I just almost felt like he's my son. You know, Bhagwan was very young then. Bhagwan was probably in his late 30s. And so that is the connect she felt. She felt that she belonged to this persona completely. So this is what happened on the second day of Bhagwan's stay in Mumbai in Mr. Savan's house. And the first time she was seeing Bhagwan face to face. And that evening, I told you how Bhagwan, as he passed by her husband in the Shanmukhananda hall, something happened to her. An electrifying experience overtook Mr. Ratanlal. And from that moment, there was only tears in his eyes, and he only wanted to hear about Swami. The function was over, and as they were driving back to their home, and Mr. Ratanlal only was telling his wife, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more about Swami. That's what happens to us, isn't it? Once you come to know Bhagwan, once you experience his love, you only say, tell me more. You tell me more. So that is how their second day went. And then came the third day. So today we are going on to this beautiful day when amazing things happen. So on this day, on the third day of Bhagwan's stay in Mumbai, Mrs. Ratanlal, her friend, Mrs. Atal, who I mentioned, who was instrumental in taking her to Bhagwan for the first darshan. So she calls up, and this is 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and she calls up and says, Swami has sent a message, that he is coming at 4 o'clock to my home. I am completely tensed. I don't know how to make the arrangements. What shall I do? Can you please help me? And Mrs. Ratanlal says, why are you worried? Don't worry. I am there. I will help you. Don't be anxious about anything. Everything will be done. And so immediately Mrs. Ratanlal sprung into action. She had very good staff in her home. So she called them, and so they came and they started making the preparations. Meanwhile, she found out what are Bhagwan's preferences, how the house should be decorated, what food items should be prepared, what are the other arrangements should be done for the people who are coming with Bhagwan. Everything she planned out, and given that she was a dynamic person and given that she had organized any number of functions in Mumbai, she was someone who had worked relentlessly for the cause of the orphans, for the cause of the disease, for the cause of cancer patients, at the same time mingled with the socialite in Mumbai, given that she had a huge boutique where she was selling expensive clothes and jewelry. So she knew everyone in Mumbai, and she had a lot of resources at her command. So in 2 hours, everything was done. She called the flower decorators and they came and redid the house. So in 1 hour, the house was a completely different place. She had given it a completely new attire. And given that she was a singer and she used to have regular bhajans in her house every Tuesday, so she knew how to do the bhajan. So when Bhagwan comes, bhajans are going on. So all these group of singers are sitting in the drawing room, and Swami comes, and Swami goes into one of the inner rooms to spend time with Mr. and Mrs. Atal and their family. And Mrs. Atal actually calls Mrs. Ratanlal. She says, you know, you are also family. You please come. There's no problem. But she says, no. This is an interview that Bhagwan is giving to your family. I will be there outside. I will ensure that the bhajans go on. So you don't worry about me. You please go in and have your moments with Bhagwan. And so that's what goes on. For 20 minutes, Swami spends time with that family. And when Bhagwan emerges from that room, bhajans are going on. And at that point in time, along with Mrs. Ratanlal, there was another close friend of hers, Mrs. Sahani, and she had come with her 2 sons, Kamal and Arun. Later on, Kamal Sahani became a student in Bhagwan's college. That's another story. And Kamal's brother Arun had a problem. Arun had a hole in his heart. And Mr. Ratanlal also had a health problem. He used to have this sinus problem and he used to be very sick for many days because of the pain and the migraines and everything because of what sinus does to you. And their family doctor, Mr. and Mrs. Ratanlal's family doctor, Dr. Thirotkar, had told that Mr. Ratanlal has to go to Switzerland and undergo a surgery that will help him get rid of this condition. And also in the crowd was Mrs. Ratanlal's niece. I mentioned about her in the previous episode. Now, this child was born blind. She had had almost 16 operations to see if in any way she can get her eyesight back, you know, and she was wearing very thick glasses, minus 14, minus 13, but nothing had helped her. So there were all these people in that gathering that day, and bhajans were going on. So when Bhagwan came out of the interview after speaking to Mr. and Mrs. Atul's family, Bhagwan went straight to this girl, this blind girl, and Swami asks her, take off your glasses. And she removes her glasses. Swami materializes vibhuti and Swami rubs that vibhuti on her eyes and on her face. And then Bhagwan moves on and goes to Mr. Ratanlal. He was standing there in one corner. Swami goes there. Swami again moves his hand in circles. Vibhuti emerges again from his palms. And now Swami takes his vibhuti and applies his vibhuti on Mr. Ratanlal's head, face, throat, completely. And then Bhagwan moves to Arun, Mr. Sahani's son. And again vibhuti materializes from nowhere. Swami asks this boy to open his shirt. And Swami places this vibhuti, rubs this vibhuti on his chest. And after all this is done, Swami quietly walks away from that home. The next morning, Mrs. Ratanlal's niece calls her 5 a.m. and says, "I have got a headache and can I come and see you?" And Mrs. Ratanlal says, "Why are you disturbing me so early in the morning?" She says, No, I have to come and see you." So she goes there and she says, "Auntie, what shall I do? If I put on the glasses, I get headache. And if I don't put on the glasses, I am all right." And Mrs. Ratanlal asks, "But if you don't put on the glasses, can you see?" And she says, "Yeah, I can see everything. I can see everything clearly." Then she says, "Why do you want to put on the glasses?" She says, "No, if I don't put on the glasses, my mother is scolding me." She says, "No, okay, don't forget about your mother. Can you see?" She says, "Yes, I can see." "Then don't put on the glasses." That is what had happened. That one moment with Swami, and the light had come back into the life of this little girl. And Mr. Ratanlal, who was supposed to go to Switzerland, he went to his doctor to do the final checkup before he does the bookings, and the doctor says, "Why do you have to go to Switzerland? There is absolutely no need." Dr. Thirotkar says, "I don't know what has happened, but there doesn't seem to be any problem in your body. I think you should cancel the trip." And meanwhile, Mrs. Sahani, who was to take Arun for the operation, what had happened was, a few days before, Arun had had an operation in the reputed hospital in Vellore, and at that point in time, there was a mistake the doctors had done during the operation, and the doctors had actually given 3 tickets to her mother, to his mother, father, and Arun to come to US, and they said they will correct the operation. And now, when they went to the doctor before they fly to the US for the operation, the doctor says, "There is no reason for you to go to US. There is no hole in the heart. Everything is cleared. I don't know how it has happened, but it has definitely happened." So that is what happened in those few moments when bhajans were going on and Bhagwan was there filling everyone's life with his light. I told you the journey of Mrs. Ratanlal is the journey of the light is in me. I am in the light and I am the light. So this is what happens when light penetrates into your being. When the light of love fills your being, then everything that is incomplete in you becomes complete. Everything that needs love, pure love to heal you. And there is nothing that pure love cannot heal, be it mental, physical, spiritual, psychological. So that is what happened when the light of love penetrated their beings. They were first healed physically, and then Bhagwan started his work on treating the other maladies of their body, mind and soul. But this was that encounter. When light enters, when the divine light enters, then Jivan Jyoti, the light of your life, glows.
जीवन ज्योति तुम हो साई,
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 प्रेम की ज्योति जला
So that is how Bhagwan lit the lamp of love in their heights and heal hearts and heal them. And once that light touches you, you know how it changes you, how it completely captures you, because you are so enveloped with that warmth, with that beauty, with that solace, with that glow, with that peace. And that is what happened to Mr. and Mrs. Ratanlal. Mr. Ratanlal, after that experience, he, as Mrs. Ratanlal says, he was only saying, Baba, 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 tell me more, tell me more. I have to go to Baba. And she says, my husband drove me nuts telling every day, only talking about Baba, Baba, Baba. And then that's when they decided we have to come to Prashanti. And so they came to Prashanti Nilayam for the first time in 1965 during the Dasara celebrations. And Mrs. Ratanlal at that point was a little hesitant about making this journey, because every year during Dasara, she used to do elaborate Navratri Puja in her home, and she used to in fact do this Navratri Puja twice a year. And this was a very elaborate process along with all the rituals and poor feeding and everything. And she was thinking, you know, I'm going to miss all this. And she was thinking, is it the best thing to do to go to Puttaparthi? We have never been to Puttaparthi and I'll be missing this puja. But her husband said, nothing. We are going to Prashanti. And that is how they came to Prashantilayam for the first time in Dasara of 1965. In those days, to come from Bangalore airport to Puttaparthi itself used to take 6-7 hours. These days it is just 2-2.5 hours. Because even to come from the super speciality hospital to Prashantilayam ashram, in those days it used to take 1.5 hours, which is today just probably 5-10 minutes. Because there were no roads. And when they arrived in Puttaparthi, to their surprise, Professor Kasturi was there waiting at the gate. Of course, they didn't know Professor Kasturi, but they found this person waiting at the gate for them. And he warmly welcomed them and he said that food is already ready for you. They had no idea how this person knew that they were coming. And so they went to the canteen, and it was a rudimentary canteen, the canteen of the 1960s. You know, they had to sit down. There were only a few benches made of kadapa slabs. So they were sitting down and eating on leaves, and the food was very difficult for Mr. Ratanlal. And when it came to accommodation, again, at that point in time, there were absolutely no rooms. There was not even the Ganesha temple. Where the Ganesha temple is now, there, at that point in time, there was a well. And next to that well, on the right hand side, there were two rooms. And they were kacha rooms, they were mud houses. And absolutely very difficult for more than one or two people to stay, because it was just a tiny, tiny room. But Swami had already asked one family to stay there. It was the family of Mrs. Panduranga Dikshit, one of the very renowned singers of that time. And she had come there with 9 members of her family, her father, her mother, her daughter, husband, and so on. And Swami asked even Mr. and Mrs. Ratanlal to adjust in that same place. So it was absolutely impossible for these people to manage in that little room. But this is how it was in those days. And during darshan, there were only 50-60 people on either side, ladies and gents side. And Bhagwan told Mrs. Ratanlal that, you know, I know your husband has a very weak constitution, so try and make some ensure that, you know, he doesn't have to go out much. And so somehow Mrs. Ratanlal found out outside there was one person selling hot water for 4 anas. And so she used to buy this hot water, and there was another place where, you know, there was a little enclosure where her husband could have bath. So it was really that kind of a life where they didn't know where to place their head, where to place their luggage. And in fact, there were, as she says, there were 5 or 6 nice trees. So she used to put a mat under one of the trees and make her husband lie down. And, you know, she used to fan him so that, you know, he can sleep. And he used to do that for 20 minutes. Only then, you know, he was able to take some rest. And they are coming from a place, from Mumbai, from a house which was completely air-conditioned. Even in 1960s, they had 4 cars, 4 drivers and 10 servants and all that. So imagine such a lifestyle, they are now here living under the trees. And no place to have bath, no place to rest. no proper food. And you know, and when we are listening to Mrs. Ratanlal, and I was telling, you know, I was thinking, what is she going to say? How was their condition? And when I asked her, how was it? And she says, oh, it was like heaven. It was really heaven. I couldn't believe it. It was heaven. She says, yes, it was heaven. You can't believe. Swami's darshans were so divine. We used to wake up at 2 o'clock early in the morning, and what lovely bhajans we used to have in the morning. And then since morning, since 5:30 in the morning till 12 noon, we used to spend time with Swami. That's it. All the time we were around him. And then in the afternoon we used to have some lunch and rest a little again under the trees. And again by 3 o'clock we were back with Swami until 7 in the evening. We used to just mill around in Prashanthi Nilayam. We were all the time just looking at him, participating in bhajans. It was such a blissful time. This is what Bhagwan's love can do to you. Your physical comfort, discomfort, they are obliterated. They become nothing in the comfort of his love. And Mrs. Ratanlal was thinking, you know, during Dasara I should do the Navratri Puja. So she thought, you know, when she saw Bhagwan, she thought, you know, this is the Devi, Lakshmi, Durga and Parvati that I used to worship. So she thought, I will do the puja here. You know, I will do my fasting here. I will cook separately for Bhagwan and I will offer Bhagwan the prasadam. So that is what she decided to do. So early morning, the 4 o'clock, there was one or two people outside the ashram who were selling this akura, which is called this greens. You know, green leafy vegetables. So she used to buy that and she used to immediately cook something for her husband and, you know, for her niece. And then she used to make her puja. She used to cook separately for her because she was following the fast and she would not eat onion and garlic and, you know, follow all the traditions. And then she would cook for Bhagwan. So she would make some puris and some potato curry. So 4 puris and potato curry, she used to take it in a plate, in a little silver plate. And in those days, people used to know when Bhagwan used to go to the dining room because Bhagwan's dining room was in one corner of the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir while he lived in the opposite corner. So people always, you were able to see when Bhagwan moved from his room to the dining room, especially in the morning for lunch or in the evening after for dinner after the evening bhajans. So she used to take the silver thali, she silver plate with her puris and little potatoes, and she used to take it and leave it there downstairs and ask people if they can take it to Bhagwan. And invariably her plate used to go upstairs. Some used to ask for it, and Mrs. and Parvatamma and Venkamma, Bhagwan's sisters, they knew about it, so they used to take it upstairs. And she used to always find that, you know, out of 4 or 6 puris that she had given, you know, some puris would be gone, 3 or 4 puris would not be there, and there would be something left. Some of the potato curry would not be there. So she would know that Bhagwan had accepted her offerings. And Professor Kasturi would sometimes share with them what Bhagwan ate or what Bhagwan did not and all that. So she used to get these little signs of blessing from Bhagwan. So, you know, this used to fill her heart with so much joy, so much bliss, that she would see the prashanti, comfort, discomfort, the all the trials and tribulations, physical trials and tribulations, did not matter at all because she was so spiritually charged with that spiritual joy of doing something for Bhagwan, of living with Bhagwan. And during the end of the stay, Bhagwan would call them for an interview. And at that point in time, there was no separate interview room. So there was only one room. And then when Bhagwan has to give anyone personal interview, Swami used to call them inside. There was a curtain, and inside the curtain was actually, that's when the staircase began. So what used to happen is that staircase used to become the personal interview room. So Swami would climb 2 steps up, and then the people whom he was speaking to would be standing down, and then Swami would standing up talk to the people separately. That was the personal interview room in the 60s. And so when Bhagwan called Mr. and Mrs. Ratanlal for this personal interview, there Bhagwan would talk to Mr. Ratanlal about so many spiritual topics, but Mrs. Ratanlal says that he would never talk to me, but the moment he would see me, Bhagwan would sing. And what would Bhagwan sing? Swami would sing Meera bhajans. Continuously, one after another, Swami would sing Meera bhajans. And she says, you know, I could not but just drown myself in tears listening to Bhagwan sing. What a beautiful singer. And sometimes for hours, Swami would just go on singing. And it would be Meera bhajan, sometimes it would be Tyagaraja kirtanas. And that is how the interviews with Bhagwan went for Mr. and Mrs. Ratanlal. You know, I cannot but recall the way Bhagwan loved to hear Meera bhajans in the 90s, and it was the early 2000s. You had Mrs. Parveen Sultana, the famous Carnatic singer, who used to come to Prashanthi Nilayam, and whenever Bhagwan used to see her, Swami would ask her to sing Meera bhajans. And listening to Mrs. Ratanlal and reading about her made my mind to go back to those days when Swami was so much in bliss just listening to Mrs. Parveen Sultana singing Meera bhajans. Imagine, Swami himself was doing that in those days. One after another, he used to sing Meera bhajans for Mrs. Ratanlal. Let's just spend some time in the bliss of the devotion that Meera had, and how the Lord is forever touched by that love, by that sincere outpouring and surrender of one's life and living. ओ मेरे तो गिरधर गोपाल, दूसरों ना कोई. एंड शी सेज दैट, मेरे तो गिरधर गोपाल दूसरों ना कोई, जाके सिर मोर मुकुट मेरो पति सोई, मेरी मति खोई. विच मीन्स यू नो ही इज माई लॉर्ड एंड ही आई हैव यू नो ही इज टेकन अवे माई माइंड. मत खोई, माई माइंड इज लॉस्ट टू हिम. Well, that is what happened to Mrs. Ratanlal. You know, as Bhagwan was singing Meera Bhajans, she used to completely lose herself in her love for the Lord and Bhagwan and Ratanlal and Meera. That was the beautiful conversation, silent conversation that used to happen during the interviews in that time. And Bhagwan told Mr. and Mrs. Ratanlal that you should come for every festival. You should come Prashanti Nilayam. And that is how, you know, either one of them or both of them tried to come for every function to Prashanti Nilayam right from the 60s. And she says, you know, how could we not come? There was so much akarshan. There was so much of attraction. You know, it didn't matter whether there were any provisions, whether there were any facilities. His aura, his charisma was so overpowering. So they were here for the birthday of Bhagwan in 1965, Swami's 40th birthday. And at that point in time, there were a lot of arrangements to be done, you know, at that, in the canteen. So Mrs. Ratanlal used to always spend time in the canteen. You know, she narrates how her duty was only to cut the chilies in the canteen. That is because that was one of the toughest things to do. You know, there was a big basket of green chilies to be cut, and many people used to hesitate to do that because of the difficulty one faces while cutting chilies. But she was the one who would miss darshans, but you know, go to the canteen and just do this seva morning till night. And she would come late for darshan. She would be sitting behind, and she says that, you know, at that point in time, the canteen also could not provide much, so it was just a simple sambar and, you know, rice. And Bhagwan would always come till the last row for darshans, and she would be sitting there in the end, but Swami would come there, and Swami would fill her with his love. Swami would give her pad namaskaram, and, you know, that was enough for her. Swami would never talk to her, but Swami would always talk to Mr. Ratanlal. No one knew them, even though they were such highly influential people and high net worth people from Mumbai. No one knew them in Prashanti Nilayam, and they also did not want that. They were just simple servitors of Bhagwan, happy to live under the trees and work in the canteens. And at that point in time, you know, somehow they had to find some place. So that Swami also told them, you know, try to find some place. So one day, Mrs. Ratanlal went outside the gate, and she found this little eatery, a little dhaba. And so this person also had 4 dilapidated rooms. Those rooms didn't have any proper doors or proper windows, and even waters would come in when there was a rain. So she tried to spend some money and, you know, redid that room a little bit. And she told this owner of that dilapidated rooms that, you know, can you rent this to me? And so it was 10 rupees for 4 rooms. I mean, that was how the price was at that point in time. So she reserved all the 4 rooms for the entire year. And inside the room, she could put 1 wooden plank where, you know, which could become a bed for her husband. So that was placed only for 1 wooden plank there, and she placed 1 more wooden plank outside where one of the cooks or the servants who she used to bring along could rest, because it became very important later on to bring a cook, because Mr. Ratanlal would call so many people to their little home, so-called home, and he would ask Mr. Ratanlal to feed them, because, you know, all these people were there in Prashanti Nilayam, and Mr. Ratanlal felt that they should have some good food. So he would bring them to their home. And so every day it started with 5 people, 10 people, and it soon became 15, 20 people. So Mrs. Ratanlal was not in a position to handle that. So she used to bring a cook. So this cook used to help in the cooking process, and there was this wooden plank for this cook to rest. So that is how, you know, they spent their time in Dasara and for birthday celebrations in 1965 in Prashanthi Nilayam. And the next year, 1966, they again came to Prashanthi, and this time it was in the month of July. 28th July was her birthday, and the day before was a Tuesday, and in as usual they did bhajans in the home, that regular Tuesday bhajan. And suddenly it just occurred to her, and she said to Mr. Ratanlal, you know what, how nice it would be if we were with Bhagwan tomorrow. And Mr. Ratanlal, as soon as he heard that, he said, yes, let's do that. Let's go by car to Prashanthi Nilayam. And that's it. The decision was done. It was confirmed. It was an instantaneous decision taken, and that's it. They started off. They immediately packed their little belongings, and so they took their domestic help with them, and also Mr. Atul's daughter. So the four people started off for Prashanthi Nilayam, and at that point in time, they didn't know the route, how to come to Parthi, coming by car for the first time. So they were asking people for the way, continuously on the way, and so somehow they reached by 3 p.m. So they started at 3 p.m. and so they reached Pune in the night. So in Pune, they could find two rooms because they were part of the turf club there. So they went there, they rested in the night, and there Mr. Ratanlal and Mrs. Atul's daughter, you know, they went to a restaurant, to a quality restaurant, to have food. And in that restaurant, there was a table for four people. And somehow, even as they were sitting there, Mrs. Ratanlal felt that, you know, Swami is there with me. She had this strong intuitive feeling that Bhagwan was there. So the bag that she had kept on one of the chairs next to her, she immediately took that bag and kept it down. And she told, you know, let's make place for Bhagwan on this chair. And the others said, what happened to you? You gone crazy? Why are you doing this? And she said, no, Bhagwan is there. At that point in time, Mr. Ratanlal and Mrs. Atul's daughter, they used to take non-veg. So they asked for chicken and fish. And Mrs. Ratanlal said, you know what, tomorrow we are going to Swami. So it's better you avoid non-vegetarian food for at least today. You know, nothing's going to happen if you don't eat today. Why don't you have simple dal and roti and the normal stuff? But they didn't listen. Mr. Ratanlal and Mrs. Atul's daughter said, you know, enough of your advice. You know, you do what you want and let us eat what we want. We are hungry. And so that's how, so they had whatever they wanted to have. And Mrs. Ratanlal had the normal roti. And early morning, 5:30 the next day, they started for their journey from Pune to Prashanthi Nilayam. So on the route, you know, they were continuously stopping and asking people for way via Belgaum, Hubli, and finally they reached Penukonda. And when they reached Penukonda, they were informed that a bridge on the road to Puttaparthi was under repair, and so Puttaparthi was not accessible in the night. They told him, it is not advisable for you to drive in the night to Puttaparthi. So they drove from Penukonda, they came to Hindupur. And by the time they reached Hindupur, you know, they had already been 16 hours on road, and there was no guest house available. The guest house that they knew there was occupied. So there was no place for them to rest. So that's it. So they were in the car. So they decided to now somehow rest in the car. So they took out the front seat of the car and placed it on the ground and asked Mr. Ratanlal to lie on that and sleep. And somehow they spent that night. And they, when they were in Prashanthi Nilayam the previous year, they know how Nagar Sankirtan and happens Prashanthi Nilayam early at 5:30 in the morning, and Swami used to come out and give darshan in those days, 5:30, giving Nagar Sankirtan darshan. So they thought that, you know, why should we miss that? So they woke up at 1:30, so they hardly have rested, 1:30, and you know, they started off. They thought somehow, you know, it will take us 2.5 to 3 hours to reach Puttaparthi from Hindupur, so let's get started. So they just slept for 1 hour, that's it, in the night, and they started off, and they reached Puttaparthi in the morning. And when they reached Puttaparthi in the morning and during that Nagar Sankirtan darshan, so this girl, Mrs. Atal's daughter, she goes up to Swami and says, "Swami, it is Mrs. Ratanlal's birthday today." And Swami says, okay. Swami says, I will call them in the morning. And this daughter of Mrs. Atal, she had earlier mentioned to Swami once that, "Swami, we see you in Mrs. Ratanlal's diamond earring. I told you how they used to always see Bhagwan in her diamond ear tops." And Swami at that point in time had told, yes, I appear there. I'm appearing there. So they had this rapport. This daughter of Mrs. Atal had this rapport with Bhagwan. So she just went up to Swami and said, "Swami, it is Mrs. Ratanlal's birthday." And so the next day, Swami called them in for an interview. It was the 29th July, 1966. And Swami also had called the people, because it was the Guru Purnima time, and there was the Nadaswaram people, you know, the Nadaswaram artists who play that sacred music in the mornings. So Swami had called them also, and there was another couple, and Bhagwan gave all these people interview. And at that point in time, Mrs. Ratanlal used to have a lot of ulcer. She was a very bad ulcer patient. And Swami materialized for her a saligramam, a Vishnu saligramam. A saligramam, you know, we know is like a linga. And so Swami gave that to her. And Swami said, "Every day you do abhishekam, you know, worship it with water and drink this." So that is how Swami took care of the health problem of Mrs. Ratanlal. And later on, there's another very beautiful incident related to her ulcer. We'll come to it in the future episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, as we are dwelling on Mrs. Ratanlal's life. So that is how that interview went. And as I was telling you, during every interview, Bhagwan would sing Meera Bhajans whenever he used to see Mrs. Ratanlal. So that's what happened on that day too. And the other interesting thing that happened is towards the end of the interview, Swami told Mr. Ratanlal, looked at him and said, "Both of you, you had chicken and fish, isn't it?" Mrs. Ratanlal was trying to tell you, was trying to explain to you not to have, but you didn't listen to her. And immediately Mr. Ratanlal asked, "Swami, shouldn't we eat non-veg?" And Swami said, "Okay, fine, you eat," but they could make out that Swami was not for it. Swami was just saying yes, just to make them happy. And so that day onwards, they decided, Swami said, "I know your favorite is fish and eggs, but, you know, given the amount of love they had for Bhagwan, they decided to give up non-veg." Mr. Ratanlal and Mrs. Atal's daughter from that day stopped taking fish and chicken and eggs. And in that same interview, they saw Bhagwan creating money. Swami created a few hundred rupees and gave it to the Nadaswaram artists, you know, who were playing the music. And one interesting thing that happened when Swami gave money to these artists is somehow this news reached the government of India. And the government of India, the finance ministry, they got this news and they thought, what is happening? How can a person create notes? And so they sent a vigilance commissioner by name Mr. Ramchand to Puttaparthi to investigate what is happening. So this person was in Prashantan Lem and he used to talk to every person who came out of the interview room. So he talked to someone who was from Russia, and this person said that, you know, how her partner had problem with cancer and how she was there because Swami can cure cancer. And he met another person, the servant of Mr. Ratanlal, and the servant of Mr. Ratanlal had a problem and Swami had come in the dream of this person and done a surgery and cured him. So this person narrated to Mr. Ramchand how Bhagwan had healed him. So Mr. Ramchand was every day listening to all these stories of people, of miraculous healings, miraculous transformations. And so he didn't know where his investigation was going, what he should do. And one day, Swami calls him to the room and Swami says, "Go there." And he goes to the room beside Bhagwan's room. Swami is there sitting on his bed, rather lying down on his bed. And when Mr. Ramchand goes to Bhagwan's presence, Swami says, you go and inspect whatever you want in my residence. And so Mr. Ramchand goes to the room which was there next to Swami. So when he enters that room, he sees that that room is full of currency notes of all denominations. And he's stunned to see that. And even as he's seeing that, just right in front of his eyes, everything goes blank. Everything disappears. And he doesn't understand what has happened. He comes out and he goes to the next room. And in the next room, he sees that everything in that room is filled with gold. It was gold, jewelry and stones. He sees so much of gold there. And again, even as he's seeing, everything disappears. He goes to the next room, the third room, and here he sees that the whole room is filled with diamonds. And again, right in front of his eyes, in one blink of his eye, and everything is gone. No diamonds. And he comes to another room, and there he sees the room is full with fruits and vegetables. And again, in a second, everything disappears. And Mr. Ramchand is so flabbergasted with what he had seen, with the experience that he has had, that he goes to that room where Bhagwan was and he falls at his feet and he prays for forgiveness. You know, how could he decide to investigate a phenomenon who is beyond reason, beyond science, beyond logic and beyond the human mind? And that is how, very interestingly, after that, Mr. Ramchand decides to come and settle down in Penukonda. He leaves his job and he says, you know, all I want to do is to have darshan of Bhagwan. So the reason why he decides to stay in Penukonda is that in those days, Bhagwan used to go to Bangalore via Penukonda. We don't have the highway connection that we have now at Koduru. And so he was there so that he can catch glimpses of Bhagwan whenever he went out. And in those days, Bhagwan also took Mr. Ramchand with him whenever he went to different places. So he became a part of Bhagwan's entourage. And in fact, when Bhagwan went to Mumbai in 1967, he was part of that group. In fact, Professor Kasturi narrates how Bhagwan's trip to Mumbai in 1967 was. He narrates that Swami reached Mumbai on the 16th of March by car, and the students of Satya Sai Veda Shastra Pathshala, at that point in time there was no college and university, Swami had only set up the Veda Pathshala, and there were 60 boys. So all these boys were in a bus, and Swami also took the same route as the bus took. And so the bus would halt on the way at so many places, and you know, Swami would be there looking after the boys, and he used to talk to them, he used to look after their needs, he used to caress them lovingly like a mother, and attended to all their demands of curiosity and wonder, apart from food and relaxation. So on the route, you know, they went through the city of Hampi. So they saw the famous ruins of the Vijayanagara Empire at Hampi. And the Hampi, which was the scene of Swami's own boyhood miracles. And they saw the temple of Virupaksha, where Bhagwan had given darshan to his brother and others as Virupaksha himself. And they saw the mammoth monolithic images of Ganesha and Narasimha. Imagine seeing this heritage town of Hampi along with Bhagwan himself, with Bhagwan guiding you through the cultural rich heritage of India. So that was that trip of boys to Mumbai. And Swami in fact had written two musical plays, one on Sakubai and one on Radha Bhakti. And Swami had trained the boys to stage these two plays in Mumbai, in theatres in Mumbai. And so the Radha Bhakti was an elevating play, you know, full of popular lils and folk dances, and which talked about the pure devotion of the Gopikas towards Krishna. And this was a story that Bhagwan had written. It is about how there was a festival organized at Vrindavan to celebrate the anniversary of the raising of the Govardhana peak by Lord Krishna, and Krishna accepts the invitation of the cowherds who yearn to see him and to pay homage to him. And Nanda and Yashoda, the foster parents, are also happy that they can feast their eyes on Krishna. Preparations are made by the cowherds to receive Krishna, and Krishna brings along with him Rukmini, but he does not bring Satyabhama, the other queen, along with him. And Satyabhama is very jealous of the attachment that Radha has for Krishna. And at Vrindavan, Radha is forced to stay indoors because everyone thought that she is running hither and thither in search for the treasure she has lost, in search for Krishna. But Krishna halts before the door of Radha's home, and Radha is brought before Krishna. And that is when Krishna elucidates the true nature of divine love. Just like Arjuna was there, created by Krishna to share Bhagavad Gita to the world, Radha was there, created by Krishna to share what is divine love to the world. So this was the drama that Bhagwan had written and the students staged in Mumbai. And there was also a play on Sakubai which the boys enacted. And in that again, Bhagwan had narrated the beautiful life of how grief becomes your guru through that play Bhagwan had. And there were scenes of the idols of Panduranga and Rukumai coming alive and conversing on the plight of Sakubai and the implications of her suffering and how suffering takes us closer to God. So these were the very interesting things that happened during Bhagwan's visit to Mumbai in 1967. There are a lot more details. Maybe in the next episode of Outside Inside, we'll talk more about this beautiful visit of Bhagwan to Mumbai in the March of 1967. It was a march of love. It was a march of enthusiasm. It was a march of virtue, faith, discipline, humility, reverence. You know, it was a call of Bhagwan to all the people of Mumbai. And there was the initial movements of Satya Sai organization. The Dharmakshetra had not been inaugurated. The Satya Sai Sevadal was just coming into being. So these were the times, and Bhagwan was setting the stage for Dharmakshetra to come into being. And Mr. and Mrs. Natalal again had a role to play. So we will go more into it in the next episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. There are very fascinating things that happened in that trip of Bhagwan to Mumbai. Swami also comes to the house of Mr. Ratanlal. So we'll talk about all about it in the coming episode of this program. Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with me, with us, on this beautiful journey where we unravel the life of this diamond of a devotee, Mrs. Ratanlal. As I told you, it is the journey of the light is in me to the journey of I am in the light to finally becoming one with that light. And when that light enters our being, you know, that is when our refinement starts. So as we learn about Mrs. Ratanlal, I will share with you how Swami did that refinement and how it happened in a slow way, steady manner, but it happened in such a solid manner that by the time she had spent 30, 40 years with Bhagwan, she was glowing in that light of love that Bhagwan is. Let's pray that this light of love enters our being and removes those doubts, removes those darkness of misconceived notions, and clears the way, enlightens, lights up our way, so that one day we seamlessly, easily become one with that light. Thank you so much. If you have any queries or if you want to share anything about Mrs. Ratanlal or about this program, please feel free. Please write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. If you want to write personally to me, you can write to Bishu, B-I-S-H-U, @radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with me through this beautiful journey. Sai Ram.
Jeeva. जीवन ज्योति तुम हो साई,
जीवन ज्योति तुम हो साई,
जीवन ज्योति तुम हो साई,
जीवन ज्योति तुम हो साई।
प्रेम की ज्योत जलाओ जलाओ साई, प्रेम की ज्योत